Good morning again. I don't typically veer from where I am, but this morning I'm going to. That's what I had prepared as of Wednesday, and so we're gonna shorten that up a little bit. I wanted to look at Acts chapter 4. We referenced it last week. So yeah, the goal was to look at Acts chapter 4 in keeping with our series, The Making of the Church, and referencing Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then to turn to, smartly, I thought, to turn to Matthew 21:33 and look at that and 1 Peter 2 and all those things. But then Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and of course that unfolded, and it's such a devastating blow in a very real sense to many, many young people. And so I want to talk this morning about honor, like I wanted to, but I also want to show a video. But I just want to take a portion of what I had in mind and look at it just briefly. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. We'll start there. And as you get there, we'll say a prayer together. Okay? 1 Peter 2, just the first, I don't know, 10 verses there, so we're going to look at. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for people who you have put in our lives to teach us, to shape us, to form us, to reform us, to bring us in some way, shape, or form to you again and again and again. Maybe it's our parents. For those of us who were fortunate enough to grow up with Christian parents, parents who called you Lord and Savior, and to teach that those truths to us as children, we're profoundly grateful. Profoundly grateful. For those of us who have had a more difficult beginning in life and we've found you along the way, we are profoundly grateful, thankful. For those of us who have just begun this journey or maybe started this journey again, we are profoundly grateful and thankful. You seem to constantly be working and drawing people to yourself, and so we naturally and supernaturally are profoundly grateful. We don't understand your grace. We don't understand your power. We don't understand your might and your tenacious pursuit of us, of our souls, of our being. And yet you are this great patient teacher, Lord, this teacher who finds a way again and again to teach us what we know. And so we come and we're profoundly grateful. Thank you for people who change us, who transform us. We all have those people in our lives, and we thank you for your church, how you're using it to change the world. These things we pray in your name, amen. There's an understanding I need you to be aware of in Scripture. It's not just part of what we talk about or part of who you should be as a Christian, but it's bigger than that. It's a pillar of our existence when we come to Christ. And that this understanding is really this, that Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He's the cornerstone of who we are and who we're becoming. He is what the builders have rejected and God has used nonetheless to plant seeds, to build his church, to build the body that would change the world. Charlie Kirk knew this. You know this if you are a Christian. The Apostle Peter knew this. Isaiah knew this. And this is a very distant reference to Isaiah chapter 7. But Peter says this in 1 Peter 2 about a living stone and a holy people. He says, "So put away all malice." God's people are to put away all hatred and malice, and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, Long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. So we start with milk and we turn to meat, and we long for the milk because that's good, but we eventually reach for the meat, we reach for the real substance of Scripture, the salvation, the things that come from salvation. And then Peter says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, that's where you'll be going. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor, this is what I want you to hear, so the honor is for you who believe. Isn't that interesting? You'd think Peter would say, so all honor goes to Christ. And he does, in a sense, say that. But he says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you, we, the bride of Christ, the church, Peter seems to say, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amazing text. You can turn also to Matthew and see a similar place. And the idea here is this, and I want to leave you with this. Very short today, and then I want to show you a video. Thank you, Shelley, for getting that going. I know it was a lot of work, this video. But I want to leave you with this, okay? This cornerstone, this person of Jesus, you either fall on him and you are smashed, you are shattered, or he falls on you and you are crushed. It's always one or the other. You either come to him and fall on him and you are shattered because you can't stand up against this cornerstone that God has used to build his church, or else he falls on you and you are crushed. And I believe eventually the Christian in his might or his effort or his work experiences both, which is amazing because God can't do much with us until we are shattered or crushed. And so we honor him. But I love that Peter says, the honor is for us. The honor is for us because God is trying to make us a holy, chosen, royal priesthood. And Charlie Kirk knew that. We have a video. I don't know if, I think most of you know who Charlie Kirk is. For those of you who don't, he was credited for being the voice of our modern conservative young people. And whether you're conservative politically or liberal, I really don't care. That's up to you. But he was fighting for truth everywhere he went. A believer, strong believer. Married a woman who was a strong believer. They have two beautiful young girls, little girls, all of 31 years old, and he is shot and murdered in the middle of Utah this past week. So we look in and we remember 9/11. We look and we remember Charlie Kirk, but we're going to look at a video remembering Charlie Kirk. But I don't want us to get lost in that. I want us to really remember Christ. We take communion to remember not Charlie Kirk, not my sins or yours, but to remember what Christ has done. Okay. But we also celebrate the voices who speak well to the person of Jesus. And here's one more. So, Shelley, if you want to play that for us. This is worth a few minutes of your time, so... Let's take a look. Thank you, Shelley. That is Charlie Kirk with his lovely wife, Erica, and their two very little girls, all of 31 years old. This man spoke week in, week out to thousands of college students, young women, young men, to all kinds of issues. In fact, he'd sit in a tent and just take their questions and answer them. And he also had a tent, said, "Prove me wrong," which, you know, you can think what you think of that, but, you know, defended the gospel, died doing that. So I don't want to get lost in that, because God will use even Charlie Kirk's death to ignite a movement in young people and old people alike. But I do want you to understand one thing. Christ has to become our cornerstone. It has to be the most important piece of our existence. And I've said it this way before, I'll say it again. Either Jesus Christ becomes the most important thing in your life, or he just becomes one more thing. And if he's one more thing, then he's really nothing. Jesus and our faith can't be just part of who we are. He has to become who we are. And until you understand that, you're never going to grow up in Christ Jesus. And so I have some statistics and some things to tell you. And maybe we'll get to another video that will elicit this a little better. But we're living in a day and age where Gen Z, those young people who were born 1997 to 2015 or so, somewhere in there, 1995 to 2015, somewhere in there. We're living in a time where Gen Z is in both revival and also in retreat all at the same time. And that's what you see today. Either young people desperately want and desire Jesus Christ, or they're just repulsed by it. And so with that information, I think the church has to wake up and really take hold of our young people and commit to them. And that is best done by developing relationships personally with them. And that's why I believed a few years ago that we should hire Ben and put him to work. And he's done a great job with that. Not here today, of course, but he's been doing that. Our young people are really, really alive, like never before. Like never before in the church, like never before in the history of America. Like never before, generations ever, we're seeing an uptick, great movements in our young people like never before. And so Christ is hearing our prayers. He's answering our prayers. Part of it was to bring people like Charlie Kirk along and to ignite them. But also part of it is it's really the Spirit at work moving in our young people. And you can see this with Asbury revivals, other revivals around college campuses in the past couple of years. God is doing an amazing work, and we just have to try to keep up. So I want you to believe in this scripture and need you to rethink or think again about your royal priesthood. This is honoring Christ for who he is, but it's also a real understanding that Christ desires to honor you in your belief. Christ wants to lift you up as you believe. Christ wants to hold you close as you believe. And the reference here is 1 Peter 2, and I'll just read a little bit of it again. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh with which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So when God comes, they may glorify him because of what they see in you. Or when he shows up in their life, they may glorify him because of what they've seen and heard in us. So this stone, this cornerstone, is a stumbling block, a rock of offense for those who do not believe. But for those who do believe, for us, the bride of Christ, this is the stone the builders rejected, and this is our cornerstone. This is what we build our entire existence on. This is what we build our church on. This is what we build our faith on, and even our works, in a sense. This is why we do what we do. So we honor Christ, and in turn, he honors us. This comes after we understand hospitality. This comes after we understand healing. This is what you see, is that the earliest church fathers, they were honoring Christ in all they were doing, and we need to do the same thing. So, thank you for being here today. I want to keep things shorter today. Let's pray. Father God, help us to believe more deeply. Help us to honor you as we honor each other in our faith, as we're patient with one another, as we love one another, as we consider each other better than ourselves or one another better than ourselves. Help us to speak evil of no one. Help us to really think about the things you call us to and to think about all the things that are happening around us, and then also to thank you because you are at work. You're still working. You're still alive, still bringing people to yourself, still moving in the darkest of places and moving in the youth of the church, still moving in our hearts and our minds and drawing us and pulling us from the grave. We thank you for your work, your effort, Lord Jesus, your spirit who moves in front of us and around us and even behind us as we are your church and your blessed holy nation. We thank you for the words of Peter that should ignite us, and the words of Charlie Kirk that should convict us in how we speak and live. We pray for his family and those people closest to him. And we pray for your Christian people who are trying to figure out, as they walk with you, how to speak and how to live. Be with each of us as we do the same thing. Thank you for your church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.